You'd open it to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll just start there in verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We do not have the power. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the strength to help anybody, to reach anybody, stir anybody. We're a voice. We can utter words. We can read passages. But anything that gets done, You, my Father, will have to do it. And so we ask now that the Holy Spirit might have free reign in our midst and in our hearts, and that He and He alone would work and move, exalt, magnify, and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. For He and He alone is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. I pray, work in our midst today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 5, there's... To teach the book of Romans would take forever. I mean, you could do a survey in about 32 weeks, but to teach it might take a whole college curriculum. It's just absolutely loaded with all kind of stuff. So I want to call your attention to these three verses, and I just want to pull a very simple thought from that. And I entitled the message this morning, I died. Now, not referring to me, of course. Christ. It is He that gave His life. Nobody from Him. Nobody had the power to take it. Of His own volition, of His own free will, He gave His life. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus Christ died. He died on purpose. He died with foreknowledge. He died with a reason. He died on time. He died on schedule. And so it leaves us sometimes to say, well, why did He die? For what did He die? And people say, well, very offhandedly sometimes, well, He died to save the world. Well, that is true. Boy, that covers a lot of ground. I mean, that's a painting with a broad brush to say that Christ died for the sins of the world, or Christ died to save the world. Okay, overall and inclusively, that is so. But in that statement and in that purpose, in that context, there are a lot of reasons He died. There were a lot of other things that were necessary and a lot of things that He accomplished in dying that brought about the salvation of the world and all the benefits related to that salvation. A lot of times we as children of God live beneath our birthright. We were entitled through His death and through the salvation provided by Him for a lot of things that God gave us when He saved us, and we're either ignorant of those or neglectful of those. And so we live way below where we ought to be living as a child of the King. We live, for the most part, like paupers when we should be living like King's kids. Now, so I want to bring a little message this morning entitled, I Died, and I want to do it from this perspective. If you ask Christ why He died, what would His response be? What reason would He give to you to satisfy your question and your inquiring about why He laid down His life? there are scores and scores of reasons, some greater, some lesser, all important, none to be overlooked, none to be shunned, yet some are of more significance than others. And some of the significant reasons have substeps or lesser reasons embodied in them. And so it could be a very big, very broad, very deep study about why did Christ die. But from a practical sense, for sermon purposes, we're going to limit ourselves to about 7 or 8. And we're just going to look them at in the broadest possible context. Because if we begin to delve into any one of them, we would be here for some time. And so I say that so that you'll be prepared for the fact that each one of these positions or doctrines or consequences or outlooks will only get touched upon. We don't have the time to do them justice. But in a popular sense, I want to give you these 7 or 8 reasons why he died. So if we ask Christ, we'll do it from this person. His answer would be, I died that. See? And then we'll give you a point why Christ died to accomplish a certain thing. Now, number one, if you say, Lord, why did you die? He might say this, I died that the destroyer might be defeated. Your adversary, the devil, who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, while he has not been annihilated, while he has not been rendered totally impotent, he has been defeated, and his ultimate demise is as sure as the sun rising tomorrow. Amen. Now, the Lord lets him roam about, and because he has a mission to accomplish, there's some things that the Lord needs the devil to do. Everybody ends up working for the boss, buddy. Just mark that down. And so he said, I died that your adversary, the destroyer, might be defeated. And I chose a kind of an obscure text for that because I like the implication behind it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, the Bible said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. He taketh from him his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. You understand that's a parable over there. But it's talking about a strong man with a palace, and he's armed. And a stronger than he comes, and takes his goods, takes his palace, and conquers him. Now, the strong man with the palace, the world, belonged to the devil. He was the god of this world. He inherited it through the fall. And Jesus Christ came to take it back. He came to win the fight. And so, in order to do that, the adversary has to be defeated. And the Lord Jesus Christ did defeat him. And the one that is stronger than the devil is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not serving the second place. We're serving first place. We're not serving a strong man. We are serving the strongest man. Amen? We're not serving the one who inherited. We're serving the one who conquered. Amen. Buddy, we are more than conquerors through Him. And so, He said, I died that the destroyer might be defeated. Now, that doesn't mean you can be reckless with the devil. That's foolishness. But you mark this down, just as sure as there is a God in glory, as sure as the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, the devil is defeated, his demise is certain, and sooner or later he will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone that burneth day and night forever and ever, and never again will your adversary roam about as anything, devouring anybody. He will be, he is defeated. Of course, Jesus Christ had to die to purchase that defeat. He had to prove that he was righteous and that God could raise him from the dead because no sin was found in him. The devil had to turn him loose because he had nothing in him. And secondly, if I was talking with the Lord and I said, Lord, why did you die? Why did you lay your life down? Why? Why did you suffer the pain and the agony? Why did you endure the humiliation? Why did you die? He might say, I died that God might be just and the justifier. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, the honest truth is, God was in somewhat of a quandary in time past, because man sinned, and the wages of sin is death, and God is just and holy, and the law is righteous and just and good and holy. And so God could not justify us and keep the law at the same time. The law, being just, demands a payment for its transgression. And that payment was, you must die and go to a devil's hell. And God cast about in His infinite mind through His infinite wisdom and said, how can I take a sinner who has broken the law, who is unrighteous, and yet somehow justify them without becoming a transgressor myself? The solution, I will send my only begotten Son, and He will live a sinless life. He will be righteous, and He will die without sin. He will be tried and condemned and die an ignoble death, yet unjustly. And when He is examined and hauled into court and the adversary accuses Him, He'll have to set Him free, because there is no unrighteousness in Him. There is no sin in Him. And then, the law having been kept and proven to be righteous and good and holy, the law stands as it ought to stand. It's the righteousness of God written down. And it's been vindicated. He never violated it. Once that's done, then I, in grace, can take, and in a benevolent sense, take the righteousness of Christ and bestow it upon the sinner. I can justify him. And I'll do that by faith. The law has been kept. And I can take the works that he did and impute them to this fella, therefore justifying him and letting him into my heaven. Pretty slick thinking, buddy. I bet you and your grandpa couldn't have come up with that if you stayed up all night. You know, I know why they call him the only wise God. That's not human to think like that. What are you talking about? They say, think outside the box. Son, that's outside the box. That's God in action there. And so God can be just and yet the justifier of us wicked sinners and yet keep the law. What an amazing, wonderful, marvelous thing God did for us. Thirdly, if I said, Lord, why did you die? Why did you let them drive nails through your hands? Why was it that God, manifesting the flesh, laid down on that cross and let them drive spikes through Him? Why did they lift you up between heaven and earth and drop the pole in the pre-dug hole? And when it hit the bottom, the pain that shot through your body, nailed to that tree. Why did you bear that? Why did you bear the Roman soldier taking his dirty spear and run? Why did you die for me? And the Lord might say, son, I died for you that you might be made clean. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible said, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And see, the only people that think we don't need cleansing is us. We think we're pretty good folks and in pretty good shape. Amen? And we play games with our mind and in our mind about how we're not as bad as so-and-so and we've not done this and we've not done that. But I'm here to tell you, son, that your inner workings, down inside, in the depths of your soul, in the recesses of your mind, it's just as dark and rank and defiled and filled with pride and hate and prejudice and envy and bitterness and jealousy as the worst sinner that ever drew a breath. You may not have been an adulterer. You may not have been a murderer. You may not have done a multitude of things. But down inside that dark heart where no light can shine, it's dirty and defiled. And it damns you and consigns you to a devil's hell. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been used to wash that away. The blood was applied. And all that filth and all that hostility, all that rebellion against everything that you've ever done was washed whiter than snow. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Why'd you die, Lord? So you could be clean. So you can be clean. You've been dirty your whole life. You may have applied perfume. You may have covered it up. But you can't wash away the dirt. And you can't wash away the stink. God and God only can wash away the dirt and the defilement of the conscience and the heart. And buddy, it takes the blood of the Son of Almighty God to wash you clean. I love Revelation chapter 1. It said, and He hath washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. So why'd you die? So I could be clean. Can you imagine that? Just look. A dirty, rotten sinner, rebellious and contemptuous, an agnostic and atheist at worst, a profane and babbling fool, ridiculing and poking fun at God. And God, in mercy, looked down and looked right past everything I'd ever... You know, by the way, my ranting and raving in my younger years never did any damage to God. I want you to know that. It never affected Him one way or the other. I just thought it did. But He looked right past that and took the Son of His, the blood of His only begotten Son and washed me in that blood and washed me whiter than snow, and all the dirt and all the defilement was washed away in a moment of time. Why did you die, Lord? That you might be clean. Why did you die, Lord? Why did you let those soldiers take you? Why didn't you resist? Why did you carry the cross on your back up that hill? Weak and tired, stumbled, and another had to finish it. Yet you never opened your mouth like a sheep before its shears. You were quiet. You didn't say a word. There was no protest. No, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. You got the wrong man. None of that. Humbly you submitted to the will of the Father. You carried out the mission you've been given. You did all things that God Almighty declared that He needed from you. Why'd you do that? That the power of God might be made manifest. Bob, I did it so the world could see the power of God. Revelation chapter 11, verse 17, the Bible said, Seeing we give thee thanks, O Lord, Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, one of these days, the world see the power of God unleashed. They will see the power of God wielded with purpose and direction and strength. But I'm here to declare that I have already seen the power of God. I have experienced the power of God. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was alienated from the promises of God. There was nothing in me. I was under sentence of death. I was condemned already. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, exercised that power and raised me up a new man, created in me a clean heart, made me a brand new creature, took me when I was dead and made me alive. Only the power of God can do that. Dead, do you understand? Dead, graveyard dead. But He quickened me. He put His Spirit in me. He gave unto me the earnest of my inheritance. And I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise under the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh, glory to God. Why did He die? Why did He die? Boy, there's a lot of reasons He died. He died that the power of God might be manifest. You know something? You take some old fella that's been drunk for the last 30 years. I mean, just drunk up everything he ever had. Worked just enough to get a bottle. Maybe he ends up out there on the street, family gone, children gone, reputation gone, health gone, mind gone.
But he's still searching for that bottle, lying for it, stealing for it. And somebody sits down with that old sinner on the curb one day and tells him the story of how Jesus loved him and died for him. And something supernatural happens inside. The Spirit of God makes that message real. And for the first time, that old drunk, that derelict sees the truth. And it stirs his mind. And he receives Christ. He's regenerated. He's born again. He's made a new creature. And this man who has wasted it all and spent it all and who there's nothing to him, he is the dregs of society. Stand up in a moment of time, washed whiter than snow, made alive, changed once and for all, forever. See, how do you explain that? Education didn't do it. Science didn't do it. Hard times didn't do it. What did it say? It took the power of God. I know about the power of God. I was one of those people. I was without Christ and without power. I was dead. My life was wasted. I was headed in the wrong direction. My marriage was soon to come apart. I don't know where I would be. But somehow God took a man who laughed at God and poked fun at God and spoke to his heart and changed him once and for all forever and made him a brand new creature. Don't talk to me about the power of God. I have experienced the power of God. What you see standing before you is the result of the infinite power of an all-wise, all-powerful God that so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. Lord, why did you die? Why did you break your mama's heart? Why did you disappoint your disciples? Why did you cause all that had followed you to doubt? Why did you die? He said, Son, I died that you might have power over sin. For 27 years of my life, I was powerless. Sin had dominion. Sin had power. It was greater than I and stronger than I. It was as much a part of me like it was you. It was like breathing. It was so ingrained in us and such a part of us that we participated in it without giving it conscious thought. It was like a subconscious reflex. But it was there. And it was real. People say, well, I have the power of choice. How come you always chose those things that were contrary to God? How come you always made the wrong decision? How people say, well, I can quit drinking anytime I want to. Well, then why don't you? Well, I can quit smoking anytime I want to. No, you can't. If God don't help you, you won't make it. Amen. You know what? People say, well, I know so-and-so. They're not saved and they've smoked and they quit. Yeah. And they're like an alcoholics that quit drinking that aren't saved and they're still alcoholics today. You talk to any of them. They go to AA and they say, I'm a recovering alcoholic. How long has it been since you had a drink? Oh, it's been over 30 years. But he's still fighting that battle, still trusting to his higher power, still following the 11 steps or whatever it is, still got the big blue book, still going to the AA meeting. I'm going to tell you something, son. When I got saved, God just took the liquor right out of my life. Amen? I ain't no recovering nothing. I'm saved! 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 I'm talking to you about the power of God. Turn you around, turn you upside down. Make people wonder, what in the world are you taking now? Don't go where I used to go. Don't do what I used to do. Now, that's not what saved me. What saved me is what makes me not do those things. Amen. Don't get the cart before the horse, son. Don't get it all tangled up. Don't you think for a second, because you don't do this and you don't do that, that's what's going to save you. I was telling Sister Nathalie this morning, I heard an illustration the other day. I told you I'd think we'd wait to get this in here. I told my wife I would. And I don't know how this fits, but here it is, because I got it on my mind. I was listening to radio and this guy was preaching and he was nutty as a fruitcake. He's one of them guys that thought, he said so-and-so did this and this and this and this and they lived this way and because of that, he said, and this is his word, he said, and because of that, they shall see the face of Jesus. Oh, you idiot. You moron. Son, I'm not going to see the face of Jesus Christ because I did anything except receive Him as my Savior. But he gave an illustration in the next minute. Here's all you get something good out of something bad, amen. This moron said, these two fellas were out soul winning. And they were up in Amish country. And he said, sometimes soul winners and God's people are just a little stupid, you know. And so they walked up to this fella, and he's standing there with his little black plain clothes on like the Amish do. And they just asked him point blank, they said, are you a Christian? And the fella stopped for a minute and thought about it. He said, wait right here 1 minute. And he went in the house, and he was gone a couple of minutes, and he came back, and he handed him a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper was a list of names. He said, now, these are the people who know me best. Go ask them if I'm a Christian. I said, whoa! Whoa, baby! Now that's good stuff! I don't care if he was nuts! Amen? That's good. Why did you die, Lord? That you might have power over sin. The Bible said in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. What does that mean? That means I don't have to let it win. I'm more than conquerors through Him. Amen. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthens me. God will not allow anything come upon you that you're not able to take care of. Amen. No temptation shall overtake you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide a means of escape. Amen? We're not powerless anymore. Sin doesn't have to win. You don't have to drink, you don't have to cut, you don't have to smoke, you don't have to be immoral. Every time sin pops up, if you would run to the Holy Spirit and call on the name of the Lord and trust in Him, He can give you power to overcome. You couldn't do that before. Why'd you die, Lord? That you might have power over sin. Well, I got to hurry. Number 6. Lord, why did you die? Why did you die? We were counting on you to be the deliverer. We were counting on you to save us. Why did you die? All of our plans have collapsed. Our leader is in the ground. What are we going to do? Where's our movement going to go? How's it going to come out? We've made spectacles of ourselves. We've alienated ourselves from the leaders and all that. And now you're going to die on the cross? We've hazarded it all for you? Why? Why, Lord? Why are you going to die? You know what He's going to say? He said, son, I died that salvation might be by grace through faith. You know what the Bible said in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible said, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, what does all that mean? All that means is, all through that Old Testament period, people were working the labor trying to keep them commandments to get home to glory. And it wasn't working well. Matter of fact, nobody had made it. So far, the whole program, like a lot of government programs, has been a total failure. Amen? But if they couldn't have called that thing nobody left behind. Mm-mm. No siree. Okay, how much they subsidized that program ain't going to fly. Amen? Because that dog won. And so, nobody was making it. Nobody's getting there. And the Lord said, I got a better way. Matter of fact, I got the only way. Amen. So how's it going to be? Well, I'm going to make it be by faith. Instead of you busting your backside, trying to keep the commandments, and crawling through broken glass, and doing penance and all that nonsense, tell you what I'm going to do. You got to have a sinless life to get to heaven. You have to be 100% perfect to get to heaven. There cannot be any unrighteousness in you to get to heaven. So, well, man, that lets me out. That lets everybody out. Oh, yes, it does. But there was one man who was perfect and who never sinned and who was righteous. Amen? And He paid the sin debt. He kept that law. He satisfied the justice of Almighty God. And God said, I'll tell you what. If you will believe that, I will count that to you for righteousness. Even though you're not, I'm going to take of His righteousness and impute it to you, and I'm going to let you in as though you never sinned. You were never wicked. I thought, oh my soul. Now you're talking about a deal, son. Now there's a deal you better not turn down. You ain't going to get another shot at one like that right now. Amen? Buddy, that's about the best deal God ever offered anybody. So And he gets saved then. By God's grace, through faith in the finished blood atonement of Jesus Christ. He said, well, then, you're kind of a freeloader, ain't you? Ain't you getting home to heaven on somebody else? Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that. I was getting worried about you there for a while, son. I don't go to sleep. I mean, ain't nothing gets by y'all, is it? Huh? Glory be to God. I'm going to home on somebody else's meal ticket. Amen. So don't that make you weak? If you think I'm going to brag about anything, if you think I'm going to take any credit, if you think I'm going to take any glory, you out of your ever-loving mind, son. I got me a free ride on somebody else's dime. They paid the train ticket. They paid for the meal. And the whole thing is on them. I'm just going to get on the train and ride that train. I want to ride the train. I want to get on the old ship of Zion. I'm whatever it is, son, I want to get on board. Amen. Swing low, sweet chariot. I'll get on that. I'm telling you, it's all by grace. It's through faith. God did it all. But I ain't sticking my nose in it where it don't belong. But I'm smart enough. I may not be real smart. I ain't near as smart as my kids. They tell me that all the time. But I'm smart enough to know a deal when I see one. Amen. I'm smart enough to get in on this. Number 6, 7, wherever I'm at. Oh, I love this next point. Lord, why did you die? Well, Bob, you have to understand this in its context now. That this is God speaking. I'm limited. I told you have to understand in context. In this body, I can only be in one place. In this body, I can only minister to a handful. But if I die, I can spend the Spirit. He can be everywhere. Oh. If I die, I will not leave thee alone. I will not leave thee comfortless. I will send another comforter. So what does that mean? That means if Tommy Stewart is grieving about the passing of his father, the Holy Spirit can minister to his heart. And if Lewis Steele is grieving about the passing of his mother, he can comfort his heart. And if I'm grieving about the passing of my mom, he can comfort my heart. So when can he do that? He can do all of them at one time. Amen. And you know something? I can get up in the morning and have a problem and God can minister to me. And you can have a problem and God can minister to you. And you can wake up in the morning and God has poured out a blessing and you shout in the victory and the Holy Spirit will rejoice with you. I'm here to tell you that it was necessary that He die, that the Spirit might come, that we might all be indwelt by the Spirit. We all might have the comfort. We might all have the peace. We might all have the joy of Almighty God. I've got Christ in me. It's my hope of glory. But He's not confined to one place anymore. Not confined to one group. He can be here and here and here and here. All of God's people can be comforted. All of God's people can be enlightened. All of God's people can be directed. Well, what a great thing. He said, why'd you die? He said, I died for that. That's one reason I died. I knew the body would get so big I couldn't be everywhere. So I died that the Spirit might incorporate the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last but not least, if I said, Lord, why did you die? We didn't want you to die. We loved you. And you were such a comfort and you were such a blessing. And you were righteous. There's no reason for you to die. You didn't have to. It's the wages of sin and His death. You didn't have to lay on that tree and shed your blood. You didn't have to hang there and die. You didn't have to hang there and be ashamed and embarrassed. Why did you do it? And the Lord said, I died that you might come forth from the grave. You see, I'm going to be the first fruits of the resurrection. I died. I gained victory over death, hell, and the grave. That you might come forth from the grave. That you might have that same victory. I'm just the forerunner. I'm setting the stage. I'm died on the cross and came out of the grave after 3 days that you might come forth from the grave. Because He lives, I shall live. Because He arose, I shall arise.
People say, well, I don't know what the big deal about the resurrection is.
Well, the resurrection proves that the life of Jesus Christ was acceptable unto God. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. I'm here to tell you, when He was interrogated in hell in 1 Peter chapter 3, and when He went and descended into the earth in Ephesians chapter 3 or 4, when He did all those things, God the Father interrogated Him, and He said, I find no fault in Him. Let Him go. Loose Him.
And up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. I said, hallelujah. So why? One of these days, the power that brought Jesus Christ out of the grave will bring me out of the grave.
The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass that saying, O grave! O grave! Yoo-hoo! O grave! Where is thy sting? Where's your victory?
Well, we lost it there in the fourth quarter. Why'd you die, Lord? To save my people from their sin. That they might have life everlasting with me. That's why I died. That's why I died. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. We pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit would take the message this morning, make it real, alive. And may it bring rejoicing to our heart. May it put a shout in our mouth. May the truth, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ excite us and motivate us and change us. We give You praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name.